Welcome to the Uncut Podcast. I'm Pastor Luke.
And I am Pastor Cameron.
And this is the Uncut Podcast, where we have honest, uncut conversations about faith, life, and ministry.
Here we are.
Here we are. Yeah, how do we talk about this? So, a listener sent you and I a post, essentially, I don't know if we're going to name names or not. I don't feel like we necessarily have to.
No.
But, you know, it was a post that was kind of going around of a pastor who was up on stage, and somebody had recognized the outfit that he had on. Some might think it was fashionable. And they had like a price tag on what the article of clothing was that he was wearing. It was something to the tune of like
two grand
for a sweater. So, and I didn't think it looked all that great. But that's my own taste. Like,
right. Yeah, this is not, we're not giving fashion advice on the blog. We're not on the podcast.
Like,
we're not trying to say like, hey, why would you wear something so silly?
Yeah. No.
It's more about like, there's been a lot of question about, situations like it.
Yeah. What was that? Was that 2020, 2019? When like the preachers and sneakers account like first kind of hit big?
Yeah, it was something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember I was in Chicago at the time
with
a certain roommate. I think that was around, it was pre-COVID, but it was close to it, I think.
And if you're not familiar with preachers and sneakers, it was a social media account that would essentially it would posterize pastors and with wearing shoes.
Yeah.
And then it would like tell you how much the shoes are worth, or how much they paid for them, or whatever, and sometimes it would do with whole outfits, in an effort to kind of like bring to social media conversation, like what do people feel about their spiritual leaders, their pastors in the Christian faith, which is typically a faith that has a pretty core value. It's like, It's
simplicity.
Well, it's simplicity, modesty. but also it's like it's relationship with the poor, and it's service of the poor, and it would essentially call into question the spiritual appropriateness of the spiritual leader or the pastor wearing outfits or shoes or whatever that were in like the, like a whole outfit would be a couple grand.
Yeah.
Thousands of dollars.
Right. Yep.
And there was, I don't even know. I don't follow Preachers and Sneakers anymore, so I don't even know if it's still active. I'm assuming it probably is, but probably not as much as it was.
I think it is. And I'm trying to remember, it might have, I'd have to Google it, but like I think it was just another, it was a sneakerhead.
Yeah.
Which is what they call themselves. If you're really into like expensive sneakers, like limited edition stuff and all that. I think he was just posting it. I don't think he was trying to do anything.
No.
Mm-mm. And it kind of morphed into that because he himself was just interested in shoes. And so he would just like, and then eventually it evolved into like, whole outfits. I remember it. There was like even posts of pastors being seen not on stage. I remember seeing like outfits and like luggage, like seeing how expensive the pastor's wife's luggage package was that they were using in the airport or something like that. Like, or walking around with Gucci belts and all that kind of stuff. So it's been a conversation that's been happening for a while now. Yep. It kind of comes back up every once in a while when somebody notices like how expensive one particular pastor's like outfit or something is.
Right.
And it's I mean, for those of our listeners who are watching, you can see that Cameron and I are not necessarily the most, I mean, we're not ugly, but like we're not the most fashionable.
Yeah, people. Like I'm wearing a sweatshirt that is from the gym that I work out at. I have one pair of jeans, blue jeans, and I'm wearing them today, and yep. I wore them yesterday to
yep.
preach in.
Yep. right. right.
I didn't wash them last night.
Because we're saving the planet, people.
Right. you know, like I got a pair of trail running sneakers on, and yeah. like this is kind of how I just dress every day.
Right. T-shirt and jeans, man.
And I would say, like, given, like, the original comment was about a $2,000 sweater. I don't think my entire wardrobe is worth $2,000. And I'm not joking. Like, I really am not joking. I mainly wear t-shirts that I get from like the gyms that I train at or that are giveaways or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like I don't, it, but that, but what I'm, I don't want that to be like a, that's not a value judgment at all. Cause I actually like to dress nice.
Right.
And I like to look good, you know, look good, yep. feel good type of thing. And I like nice clothes.
I do too.
But I don't have the type of expendable income that can,
yeah,
you know, that I could justify going out and buying a, even a suit,
yeah,
a full suit that costs a grand.
Right.
Half of the cost of the sweater.
Right.
So preachers and sneakers like kind of brought light to this and became really like a Christian and non-Christian sensation. A lot of non-Christians jumped on mm-hmm. and were like, see,
right.
this is hypocritical. Mm-hmm. Christians, that's the word I was looking for, supposed to be have solidarity with the poor mm-hmm. and look at these big like spiritual leaders. Yep. Well, how many homeless people could that feed? How many, like, yep. you know, all those types of comments. And it became a little interesting phenomena. I hadn't heard much about it since just this past week. And that, you know, I saw a couple posts about the cost of the sweater that this famous pastor was wearing on stage. And it was an ugly sweater. Why would you pay that much? Also, right. what are the spiritual implications of doing yeah. something like that?
And it is a bit of an insider world. Like, if you're not deep into fashion, it's really hard to like I don't really get it. Like there's like I don't know if any of our viewers or listeners would really be the audience that's watching the TV show The Bear. I haven't watched it, but I know it's like blown up virally recently, and I watched this video of this guy who was comparing the t-shirt. Apparently, like, one of the main characters has this t-shirt. You can buy the same t-shirt that he has. It's a white t-shirt for a couple $1,000s. it's like, it's this designer white t-shirt.
Right. right.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And so the right. guy was making fun of it a little bit. He's just like, he was like, this is the, and he was trying to juke you out a little bit by showing, no, actually, this is Hanes from Walmart. Like, mm-hmm. trying to kind of show how ridiculous it is that, like, no, you don't have to go buy that exact designer t-shirt in order to get a fit that looks like that and all that mm-hmm. jazz. And so, like, it is, from an outsider's perspective, a little bit ridiculous. I don't get it, yeah. to be honest.
Yeah. And to be, honestly, I would say, like, from an insider's perspective, like, I think the people who spend thousands of dollars on a white t-shirt are the outsiders, to be honest with you. Like, right. I don't think the people that are like, let's buy a 10-pack of Hanes from Walmart mm-hmm. are the outsiders. I think we're actually, like, the inside normal right. people.
you know, like, yes.
But right. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, right.
You know, I get what you're right. saying. But I think I want to have a little bit of a conversation about, because I have mixed feelings about this.
I do too, actually.
About what is the, should we care? Mm-hmm. Should we care how much whatever the guy on stage is wearing, how much right. it costs? Do we have a right to know? Mm-hmm. Do we have a right to question a decision to purchase a $2,000 sweater? Mm-hmm. what does it say or communicate theologically or spiritually, or does it not communicate anything at all? Mm-hmm. And like, do we have a right to be like the fashion ombudsman for every pastor that happens to grace a stage or screen?
Mm-hmm. Well, like the question for me though, is like, cause we could just talk just about fashion, but I think it kind of misses the larger conversation because I'm like, okay, well, fashion, what about cars?
Mm-hmm. Or homes
or hobbies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like
I have expensive hobbies.
Right. Yep. Right.
Yeah,
like we spend our money, yeah, right? Like we're pastors so I feel like there is this balancing act, like pastor as person.
Yep.
It's like human.
Yep.
Pastor as like under shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And sitting in the offices, pastor, and serving the church and mm-hmm. being the hands and feet of Christ in some regard. Mm-hmm. And in balancing those two. Mm-hmm. Because like we could, you know, we could talk about, like, it's really easy to identify how expensive, you know, some fashionable sneaker or outfit or something like that. But, like, you know, questions come to my mind of, like, well, what about pastors that are wearing suits? Mm-hmm. Some suits can be really expensive. Mm-hmm. Just as expensive, if not more expensive, than that sweater.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. Like, is there a preachers in suits account?
Yeah. Or preachers in cars, like you said.
Preachers in cars.
Yeah.
So it really blossoms out into an even larger conversation that gets kind of a little bit harder to navigate. I feel like the fashion one is really easy to pick at because it's the one that's on camera.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I think that's certainly a part of it. I wonder for me if it changes the conversation really much at all. I think the issue for me is really not even so much the fashion,
mm-hmm.
the clothing choice, as much as it is like, do we have the right to do that?
Mm-hmm.
So do I have the right to say, you know, you shouldn't spend the money that you make, which I'm assuming is his church elder board leadership structure has agreed upon a salary.
The books he sells,
he does. The music that he produces, all of that. And it's not like he's stealing the money from the church. It's an agreed upon amount for the services that he renders.
Right.
It's what he lives on and uses. So now do we from the outside be like, okay, let's say you make $500,000 a year. I have no idea what it is. No idea what it is.
Yeah.
That's an outrageous sum to me, but it's a different cultural thing for me. Like I just like,
sure.
I can't even wrap my mind around that. But like, say he makes $500,000 a year running mm-hmm. pastors, one of the biggest churches in the United States.
Right.
Okay. Then do I have the right to be like, well, no, but you have to spend that in a way that is, not spiritually offensive.
Mm-hmm.
And is that my job to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if he's debt free?
Mm-hmm.
What if he is extraordinarily generous
mm-hmm.
and is just like upholding the biblical standard of not flaunting his generosity in the public domain?
Right.
What if he's very, 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 very generous? And his hobby or the thing that he likes to do is fashion and buy designer clothes.
Right.
Is it really too extraordinarily different for him to buy a $2,000 sweater and wear it on stage
mm-hmm.
than it is for me to buy a $10,000 motorcycle and drive it to work once in a while?
Yeah.
Or ride around on the weekends. Right. Like, tell me what the substantive difference mm-hmm. there is other than you may have a personal, a more personal look into my life or his life to try and examine whether or not that's appropriate given our cultures, our contexts, our income, our churches, our scale, whatever. So the problem for me with the whole thing really is not even the sweater or the amount. The problem for me is I don't know that I would want people to pick apart my financial decisions as if they had intimate knowledge of my financial situation or the generosity or not generosity or the way in which I give or serve or don't or how much I make or don't make or what my debt load is or what it's not, right? Like, I don't know that I think I would want to say to a person like, you don't even have an idea what my life is like financially. So how could you say the purchase is inappropriate?
Yeah.
Or like what, I mean, what do you think about that? Is it, do we have a right to call into question the financial practices of our pastors and spiritual leaders?
I feel like let's put it this way. If I was like mentoring like a young pastor, had a relationship with him, and he was kind of going in that route. Like he was kind of like, he liked fashion, was buying like really expensive sneakers and outfits and stuff. Like so I'd sit down and I would say like, is this wise? Like, and have you thought through the implications and the things that you're communicating when you wear these in front of people on stage in particular? Like I don't want to like leverage a lot of guilt and say that you can't do that in your personal life. But like when you are speaking from the stage, supposedly preaching the word, like we care about our language. We care about our presentation. We care about the way we present all of that. All of that matters. And I don't think it's too far of a stretch to say that what we wear also matters. Because I couldn't get up there and have like a t-shirt with like explicit language on it or something like that. That would be inappropriate or something sacrilegious on it. So what we wear does matter. Where that line is drawn is a bit of a personal conviction. So if I had a relationship with someone, I would want to have like a conversation with them and challenge them to think through the implications and their boundaries on that. But for somebody that I don't know, I just probably wouldn't go to their church, to be honest.
Why though? What if all other things being
equal? All other things being
so like equal, theology is good, philosophy of ministry is good.
Yeah, I have to dissociate all the other things I have in my mind around that church.
Right.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
I
wouldn't go to that church either.
Right.
But it's not because of the pastor's fashion decisions.
Yeah.
It's really got nothing to do with that. It's more about like a philosophy of ministry. Some theological things that I can't really like compromise with. Like so, but it has nothing to do about like what he shows up on stage wearing.
I guess my personal line would just be different. I think, I don't know. It bugs me. It bugs me at like a conviction level, but not not at a place where I feel like I can articulate it. So I don't know if it's just it's me reacting from like all the ways in which like I've grown up and the convictions I personally hold.
Yeah.
And me just not being able to see to the other side of it. Particularly when it comes to just what you're doing on Sunday morning.
So here's another question then.
Yeah, I can hear this other question coming. So
I don't know if you do, but like, because here's it. So there's another pastor who I think we both respect really well. We happened to share a hotel with him at a at a recent leadership conference that we went to.
Yeah.
And he came, he has come under, he pastors the biggest church in America. He has come under some scrutiny because whenever he travels, he hires a driving service to drive him around. And they open his doors and he drives big fancy SUVs and doesn't do any of the driving and like, and you know, been accused a little bit of being like kind of bougie, like, dude, just drive your own car. Like, just drive. Why, why do you need a driver?
Yeah.
And he's never addressed it as far as I know publicly, never like been a thing. It's just what he does. So like, what about, you know, practices like that?
Right.
But like, we have a different, like perception of him as a leader.
Right.
And agreement with him as a leader, philosophically speaking, or methodologically, even theologically. And would you go to that church?
I'd be more inclined to go to that church. But that practice doesn't bug me as much.
It's a bigger church.
It is a bigger church. That practice doesn't bug me as much. It's still hard for me to put myself in his shoes and say that's what I would do. I a little bit get it because like I just got back from vacation and man, vacation's kind of not fun when you got to deal with traffic everywhere.
I think I know why he does it. It's completely like, it's a complete guess, but I'm pretty sure I know why he does it, but it's besides the point.
Right.
But, like, cause he is a guy, I listen to pretty much everything that he puts out, read pretty much everything he puts out. And he's very, very clear that he is the most boring man to ever walk the face of the earth. He eats the same thing for breakfast, the same thing for lunch, the same thing for dinner virtually every day, right? He knows exactly what he's going to eat. It's delivered to his office every day at the same time, right? He creates like very rigid discipline and habits and everything like that so that he can save all of his mental energy for the thing that matters, which is creating content to serve the local church.
Right.
And I would be willing to bet that this is one thing where he was like, I don't want to have to think about.
Right. He can be connecting with his wife or he can be talking with people. He can be delegating. He could be writing. He could be prepping his notes for teaching. So like I get like that's all in my mind too. That's why I'm a little bit less harsh on this one.
So your sense then is that like it matters who's doing it.
I don't know. I don't know. No, I think it's not so much who's doing it. I guess there's a methodological reason for doing that.
Maybe.
We're giving some generosity there. I don't know what the methodological reason for wearing really expensive things on stage would be.
I mean, I think I could make an argument for it.
Really? Being like relevant? Like, is that the, would that be the argument? I mean,
name another church that is so like hell-bent on being relevant.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Of connecting with that type of audience.
Yeah, 100%.
You know?
Yep.
So, it...
All advertising is good advertising. In a sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I can see that.
But when, honestly, like as I circle back around to the point, I'm coming back to the point of like, I don't think we have the right.
Yeah.
I don't think that we have the, unless it is like openly egregious and obviously like an obvious, I don't know that we have the right to place judgment on a decision like that. I think there like are really, really egregious examples.
What?
Like Kenneth Copeland having three jets. Because, you know, I'm happy to name that dude. Happy to name him.
I'm a Creflo Dollar.
When your last name is Dollar, you better be careful what you're spending your money on. You know? You know? Yeah. There are really, really egregious examples.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when we don't have really much to go on in terms of like,
right,
their like what their situation is or like what they spend their money on, like he might be the most generous person in that church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then what are we going to say?
Right. And he might be, you know, he might be generous, like, you know, maybe we'd need to do a topic about this at some point, but like, you know, maybe he's tithing more than 10%. Maybe he's tithing 40%.
That's what I'm saying. It's like,
but he's still got so much left over if he's right at a certain scale.
Right. It's like it, you know, yeah. What if the church's salary for him is $500,000, but he gives away $350,000 of it because he has income from other sources, not associated with his ministry there at that church.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Then we're going to say like, no, maybe this is at the root of it. Our pastor's called to a vow of poverty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like as a pastor of, and as a Christian, must I take a vow of poverty is the term,
mm-hmm.
To show or be in solidarity with a simplistic life or the poor in which Jesus served and that I aim to serve as well.
Yeah.
Like, is it required of me that I be is that a requirement that the Lord asks?
Yeah.
What
do you do with like the passages of like, it's easier for a camel to fit through an eye of a needle, whatever heck an eye of a needle is, than for a rich man to enter heaven, or the Son of Man has no home or bed in which to lay his head. Like, what do we do with like passages like that?
I think that we hold them in tension with the passages about the generosity of our resources and to whom much is given, much is expected. Mm-hmm. And, you know, examples like, 2 Corinthians 8, 2 Corinthians 9, where Paul is open with the Corinthians about how their wealth, the generosity of their wealth goes on to serve in the function of spreading the gospel throughout the Mediterranean world, and that thanks is being given to God because of their generosity. Mm-hmm. So the gospel is going out into other areas of the world because there has been extraordinary generosity. Well, the back end of that is that they were extraordinarily generous because they were extraordinarily wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
They had a lot of wealth.
Right.
And so as they were generous, right, that generosity allowed the spread of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that the question is not how much do I make and is there an inappropriate amount to what I make? I think the more appropriate question is how generous will I be?
Mm-hmm.
Where do I recognize the place that what I have has come from, whether it's $500,000 a year, whether it's $50,000 a year, where has it come from? Who has provided it for me? And what will I do with it?
Yeah.
What will I do with it? Will I bury it?
Yeah.
Will I bury it for fear of losing it? Parable of the talents, or will I put it to work so that when my master returns, that which has been entrusted to me is multiplied for the benefit of his kingdom.
Right.
So I think the bigger question for me is not how much is this dude spending on his sweater, but how generous are you? How generous are you?
Right. And that's not at the end of the day, our business.
Our business. Or, yeah, like to know that we,
right,
we can't.
Ultimately, it kind of, I think the conversation very quickly devolves into a, like, kind of a pretty unhelpful space, or at least it can, because, like, who is he to us?
Right.
Right. He's worth of note because of the influence he's having, yeah, on larger Christian culture, and, mm-hmm, and addressing him when, or addressing his content, his things, when it becomes pertinent to us or to, like, mm-hmm, you know, but at the end of the day, like, I'm not him.
Don't.
I'm not even, like, able to go to his church.
Right.
So, like, I don't, what level of discernment do I even need to exercise on him from this far of a distance?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think it is such a, like, such a hot button issue for pastors? Like, why do people care so much about the pastor doing this?
Mm.
Why isn't there an account of, like, you know, pew sitters that are wearing $2,000 cardigans?
Because I think there's this principle of transference and countertransference, right? Where we see that for us, we see pastors sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
This is a generalization, but it's a pretty regular generalization that happens.
Yeah.
That we see pastors as the, like, stand-in, mm-hmm, for the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, like, it becomes, I think, difficult to relate to spiritual leadership, pastors especially, whose lifestyles are so significantly different than our own.
Mm-hmm.
I'm certain there are people at his church that don't buy $2,000 sweaters.
Right.
Or can't. Right. And so there is this sense of, like, otherness, mystique,
mm-hmm,
that he takes on because of his prestige and his resources. And I think that there is, while it is, like, and that like, relationship, mm-hmm, between a congregation and their pastor happens at every scale.
Mm-hmm.
Every scale it happens, whether it's a super big church or it's a small church like ours.
Right.
Which is why it becomes really, really difficult for congregations and people when pastors fail morally.
Mm-hmm.
And show themselves to be the human beings that they are.
Right.
Because at some point in our relationship with them, we have elevated, mm-hmm, them to a place where they're not just humans. They're more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And so how could you do that? How could that happen? Like, my faith is broken because, mm-hmm, this person has, I thought that they were above the brokenness of the world.
Yeah.
And it turns out that they're not, that we're not.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a hot button issue for pastors because there is this sense of, like, but aren't you supposed to be better?
Yeah.
Aren't you supposed to be different? Aren't you supposed to see that that money that you spent on that should have been spent, like, fixing the poverty problem, fixing the hunger problem, fixing the homeless problem?
Projection a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's definitely, like, not that I'm going out and buying $2,000 sweaters, but there have been, like, instances where I have, like, I have wondered about, like I have a nice apartment.
Mm-hmm.
I like my apartment.
Yeah.
But when I first like moved here, a lot of people, they would say, I heard you had a really nice apartment. I was really self-conscious about it because how much like that was a conversation piece. Mm-hmm. And I was like, is it too nice? Like, like that happened in my head. Cause yeah. I was like, I don't want like people at the church to think I'm some sort of bougie new pastor that just got hired.
Right.
I'm not.
Right. Well,
but like, mm-hmm. I like in the reason that that happened is cause I know that that happens, like
yep.
right or wrong.
Yes. It happens. Right. Yeah. It happens to us all.
Right.
All of us. You know, it happened when I bought my motorcycle. Mm. I bought a really, I mean, it's not a $40,000
no.
motorcycle.
But it's nice.
It's a nice motorcycle,
yeah.
right?
It's cool.
It's, yeah, it's pretty cool. It was used, but I bought it and it was in great shape and mm-hmm. bought it for good money. And I did get one comment. It was like, oh, it must be nice.
Hmm.
Must be nice to have that, to be able to buy that. And I'm like, must be nice to what? Must be nice to, like, I don't know, spend 8 years going to school, spend 20 years in the field, you know, must be nice to what, buy used vehicles all the time and pay them off and not have car payments or not have credit cards, yeah. right? It must be nice to work 40, 50, 60 hours a week. It must, like,
is this the Dave Ramsey show?
Yeah, Cameron? Like it must be nice to what? Save yeah. your money so you can pay cash for something that you want over long periods of time? Like mm-hmm. well, yeah, I guess you're right. It is nice. It is nice. But it's not because I make like a six-figure income or anything like that. You know, there's nothing nice about that. Like
yeah, right.
You know. I've worked hard mm-hmm. to have the little that I have, and I'm so grateful for it. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it was like the comment was like, you have no idea.
Right.
What?
Because we only ever see a small glimpse of it.
First couple of years of our marriage, Sherry and I existed on spaghetti and hamburger helper. Like, it's taken us 20 years to get to a place of like where we are financially stable. Mm-hmm. Not living paycheck to paycheck. Like, Sherry doesn't work outside the home. Like, we've mm-hmm. made sacrifices to like make sure that we can uphold our core values. So like,
yeah.
without someone knowing the back story of someone's financial life or what they've done to get where they're at or what they make or don't make or their debt or whatever, I just think ultimately it becomes a futile attempt to bring to like, it becomes a futile attempt to make sense out of mm-hmm. why they would make the financial decisions that they make.
It becomes a little bit of a speck in the log
yeah.
situation.
Yep.
Like, mm-hmm. why not? Shouldn't I just be more concerned with my household mm-hmm. and how I follow the Lord? Mm-hmm. And then let the Lord judge the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. I think, like, because otherwise we're just going to be angry all the time. Honestly,
bitter, jealous,
mm-hmm.
and ungenerous.
Yeah,
because then we, you know,
when if I had that much, I would be generous, but I don't, so I'm just not going to be.
Untrue. Yeah. Right? You know.
Right. No. If you're yeah. not generous now, you won't be generous in
exactly.
future. That is, mm-hmm. it's a decision you have to make at every level.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, we weren't trying to name names, other than Kenneth Copeland and Creflo Dollary. I'm speaking to you, brah. Speaking to you.
Don't come around here.
Yeah. That's not, it wasn't Kenneth Copeland or Creflo Dollary that had the $2,000 sweater.
Although I'm sure they wear pretty expensive things anyways.
Yes, they do. But I think it's more like the talking about the principle, because I think it's important. Yeah. It's important to me. I don't know. Maybe not important to you guys who are listening, but.
Well, I think it's helpful to, you know, because if, I don't know, maybe people aren't on social media as much as you and I. Mm-hmm. So maybe they don't see it as
true.
Much.
Uh-huh.
Which, true. If that's true, good for you. Yep. It's
right.
It's not necessarily edifying.
Yeah.
So.
Well, anyway, thanks for listening this week. Hope you found the conversation relatively helpful or entertaining. As always, if you have any questions, You can always text them to us or comments or whatever. We love your suggestions for podcast topics. It's really helpful to us. You can drop them in the comments or drop us a text on our text line, 716-201.
You thought too hard about it. Yeah.
Anyway, Luke will superimpose that on the screen because I have forgotten it.
It's also in the description.
Yes. And if you wouldn't mind liking the episode wherever you're listening to it or rating the podcast as a whole, sharing it with others, that would be great. We'd really appreciate that. Thanks for listening. Catch you next time.